to see the heavenly things. To see you and to see this wonder. Give us this grace and speak to us. We all come together to the throne of grace. We treasure your word, your living, speaking word through your spirit. What the Lord is showing us here seems quite simple. And actually, the church life that the Lord is building should be easy. It should be simple and not so complicated. What the Lord is really doing is never complicated. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to cooperate. Although it's not complicated, you will see every material is precious. And so, it's not about so many different things. You know, in our houses, we want to have so many different things, this and that and the other thing. But the beauty of this sanctuary is not due to any one particular thing, but it's due to this precious material. And this is how our God is building. We must learn to see His beauty. Not according to human eyes and what we think is beautiful, but what people view as beautiful is so multifaceted, and we think so many things are beautiful, but what is beautiful for God is such a holy place. As we saw yesterday, it's called the sanctuary. The sanctuary. What is holy on this earth? Everything on this earth, in this creation, is so fallen, are man's hands. So corrupt. In many respects. So self-centered. Fleshly. Stubborn. Self-willed. Having our own concepts. So many things. And we know ourselves quite well, or at least I know myself a little bit better than you know me. So no wonder Paul said, we are not such that have faith or trust in the flesh. So today, we must understand the house of the living God is not and cannot be built by hands of men. After 50 years, at least in our time, we have to see this. Today, I'm almost 74 years old, and I've seen some things. From the time when I was 15 to 17 years old, when I had just finished my high school degree, I saw how the church in Manila at that time fell apart. And how great was this collapse? Even until today, it was like a nightmare for me. We wept as young people when we saw this. And later, repeatedly, Lord Jesus. And in Los Angeles, 1900, 86. I think he meant to say 68 to 71. This was so wonderful. It was wonderful in our eyes. Until 71, it was wonderful. And by 1975, we were all the way at the bottom again. And today I understand. The scripture says that the flesh that is eaten by men, man is as grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The flowers look very beautiful, really beautiful. Look at all the flowers outside. Well, wait 3 months and come back. All these flowers will be wilted. Because they are of this creation. And at that time, according to our experience, we thought, oh, this is so wonderful. But then 5 years later, from 1971 to 75, it wilted, dried up. Not only was it no longer wonderful, but it became ugly. You know, everything that's ugly, in the end, it's not nice anymore. And certainly at home, you will not have just a wilted orchid that's just sitting there. I've never seen a wilted orchid in your home. It's not always the same orchid. You must surely be throwing out the old ones. But if you don't know it, then people will think it's the same orchid that has just been so beautiful all this time. No, everything that is built by man's hands in this creation will not last. And I asked, even at that time, in 1975, Lord, why? Why? And when will we be, like, in this situation in Europe? If this kind of situation can occur in the U.S., then what kind of guarantee do we have that it won't happen to us in Europe? And even though we were already at the bottom, so I moved from the States in 1976, and also to help the brothers there, because I had such a burden for the young people. So I moved in 1976. But the situation was not yet that bad. Yes, it was bad, but not quite that bad. But then, 10 years later, in 85 and 86, then it was again terrible. And once again, there was an implosion, a collapse. And I thought, Lord Jesus, why? We talk about the building up, building up, building up. No one emphasizes the building up more than we do. And then I thought, Lord, what is this now? And in the end, they put us in quarantine, just like today. I always asked, Lord, show me, how are you building the church? I don't want to just build and build, and in the end, the result is this. I really fear this. I said, Lord, no, we don't want to experience this again. And then we did experience it again. And, of course, now I'm speaking of the larger collapses or events. There were intermittently also many smaller events in between. And in Stuttgart at the beginning of the 90s. That was really a tragedy, a shame. And now I see it's happening again. It's happening right in our front yard. It's in our foyer. Yeah, you were all there, you saw it. And so during this time I was in the States. It was happening here and I was in the States. And as it was happening in the States at the time, I was in Germany. Well, I don't know. Am I at the right, in the right place or the wrong place? Lord Jesus. It was such a shame. It really hurt my heart. I was not angry, but I was sad. I was sorrowful to see this. I asked the Lord, why is this all for nothing after so many years, so much truth and what we've seen? And I, at that time, I had not yet seen so clearly this vision from Hebrews. It's not built by man's hands. It's not of this creation, no matter how beautiful it is. In the end, it will be withered. Please turn off your cell phones or put them on airplane mode. And now again. But now the Lord shows us so clearly in Hebrews. It's never been this clear, because the Lord wants to show us now what will remain, what will abide. In all these verses, in chapter 11, it says, this house, this city is built by God himself. In Hebrews chapter 3, it's he who is the builder, is God. He who built all things is God. And in the end, we also see the New Jerusalem in Hebrews 12. It is a heavenly city. We must all see this today. And it's built according to this wonderful pattern that God showed Moses. And no one could build this apart from the Lord himself. And the Lord is a minister of the heavenly sanctuary, not something earthly. If you build something earthly, then we cannot expect that the Lord would be a minister in that place, that he would serve in that place. Isn't that right? And in the end, we're only concerned with the fact that we ourselves are serving, but we are serving without the great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and we're building this and we're building that. But in the end, it's no wonder that it will fall apart and collapse. And it will be corrupt. And in the end, it will only be about the honor of men and positions and what do I get out of it and what's a benefit for me. And in the end, so what do we expect? It's evidence that it is made by hands, by man's hands. Now, I can't explain it any other way. And now the Lord shows us, let us look upon him. We must have this high priest, but not in the earthly building. Not in the church or the so-called, we don't even call it the sanctuary because we are so unholy. But it is built by man's hand, so what do we expect? If it's built by our hands, look at all the groups out there. Why are they in this condition? Because it's all from man's hands. It's all of this creation. Without money, you can't get anything done in these groups. Without a meeting hall, yup, you can't imagine that that could be the church. Without this, without that. And if you take away all those things, then you have nothing left. Today we must see, no, Lord. The most important thing today, as we saw, is the priestly service. And the most important one in this priesthood is the high priest. He is the most important one, and the others are only priests and are serving with him together according to this great high priest. So no wonder the emphasis and the main point in Hebrews is that we have a wonderful, what? A wonderful apostle? A wonderful apostle who thinks he is the apostle? Yes, we do have that. But he is the great high priest. Amen. Appointed by God. Our high priest is this great high priest, and so we have to look upon him. And only holy brothers can really lay hold of this and understand this. If you're unholy, you cannot understand this. If we're unholy, then we cannot see this holy heavenly high priest. And that's this emphasis. And a high priest will only serve in the sanctuary. He doesn't serve just anywhere. He doesn't go anywhere. He stays in the sanctuary. Therefore, our Lord must also serve in the sanctuary, but not the earthly one, but not of this creation, not built by hands, not built by man's hands, but he himself is erecting the tent, and it is the heavenly, true tabernacle. This has to be practical for us today, otherwise he's serving up there and we're down here, and he has nothing to do with us. What's the point of that? What use is it if he's up there and we're down here and he's in the true tabernacle and we're in a plastic building down here? Just wherever? And we're just serving in a house made of Legos? That can't be. The scripture says we are living stones. The Lord is the cornerstone. It cannot be an earthly building. And it is a spiritual house and a holy royal priesthood. Peter saw this. That's wonderful. There is a reality today. Although we are here physically, we're on this earth, but in the spirit we are connected with the things that are above. And that's why Paul says we are sitting with him in the heavenly places. But unfortunately we are not in the spirit. That's why we don't have the sense that we are there, up there. If you're in the flesh, then you are all the way, you're on this earth, and you're even further below than the earth. But if you are in the truth and living in the reality of the Spirit, you are connected with Him in heaven. And that's what we must realize today, more and more. Enter into the reality and touch it. Lord, I want to experience this heavenly tabernacle, this building that you are building today. And Hebrews tells us that we are waiting for this heavenly city. We don't have a city here. And through these last 50 years, we must all be alert and have this consciousness that we are not doing just anything. We're not doing something that is futile. We waste so much time and energy, and we give ourselves for what? In the end, it's futile. As Psalm 127 says in verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Yeah, then we're building and building and building, and in the end, just a little earthquake will destroy everything. And surely the Lord will not build a meeting hall with man's hands, with us, with this creation in the flesh. He doesn't need that. So that means with human methods and manners, human gifts, in the end, it's not His house. In the end, it will be your house. Oh, Lord. And so I hope that now we've had fellowship about this wonderful sanctuary and all the priestly service, and now regarding the high priest, and these garments are not just for our outward clothing, but why does the Lord show Moses this special garment for Aaron, for beauty and for glory? That shows that our Lord is the true high priest. And it is His order. His order is not the order of Aaron, but it's a much higher order. It's the order of Melchizedek. It is heavenly, without father and without mother. Aaron had a father and a mother. Melchizedek was without the beginning of days. We all have a birthday. God doesn't have a birthday. You can't have a birthday party with Him. And without an end of days. Just like the Son of God. What a high priest who never dies, who lives forever, who is irreplaceable, capable, able, heavenly. Where on this earth can you find such a man? Even if you're so talented, even if you were a genius, how long can this genius stay alive? And who is so able to build this heavenly building? So this wonderful garment shows us, as Hebrews 7 says, He is so holy, separate from sinners, so righteous, so holy, so perfect, and so glorious. And he's so able to save us to the uttermost and to lead us all the way into glory. Which one of us is able, so able to lead the saints into glory? No, in the end, we would even lead the brothers and sisters into the pit. I experienced this again and again in the last 50 years. If we had continued in this way, we would have ended up in the pit. Yeah, if you think about what could have happened, your hair really stands on edge, and smoke comes out of people's ears. Yeah, I saw people become so angry that I'm speaking the truth. I am not scolding, but I'm speaking the truth. I want to save the saints from the so-called ground, from the wrong ground. It's a pun because in German ground, the word for ground is Grund and the word for hell is Abgrund. So they're very similar. So he said, oh, I wonder if they're listening to this message now, then we'll get more letters. No, this wonderful priestly garment of Aaron's shows what a high priest we have today. Pure, righteous, without sin, perfect, heavenly, having this blue color. And then we see this ephod made of gold, made of pure white linen, woven with gold, blue, purple, and scarlet threads, worked together. That's the beauty. That is beauty of the Lord. We want to see His beauty. If you want to see His beauty, then you have to treasure all these colors, His purity. Many people only treasure that He died for us, but they don't treasure His purity, His holiness, His righteousness. We just want redemption and salvation, but we don't want the righteousness. We don't want His fine humanity. We don't treasure it. We don't treasure this. We don't treasure that He is a man who came from heaven, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the second man, not the first man who is soulish and of this earth and corrupt. And does not give life. But the second man is from above. We don't treasure that this man is a different kind of man, a different type. The color of Adam is brown and earthly, but the color of the Lord is blue, having come from heaven. That is His qualification. And He is kingly. We just want to rule. I don't know what the color of dictatorship is, but that's what we are. And we want to suppress and oppress people. Everyone must listen to me. What kind of nonsense is that? Well, in German, the expression is, that's a kind of cheese. That's the word for nonsense. So he says it's like moldy cheese. but the Lord has the scarlet and purple color. He is the King who came according to Zechariah chapter 10. Behold, your King is coming. But this King came and he was riding on a donkey, this small young donkey. That is how he lowered himself. And here we are and we think we have some kind of authority and we raise ourselves up. But we know that that's not right. So then we act as though, we are hypocrites and we act as though we are so humble. What kind of Hollywood is that? So we pretend to be so humble, but in the meanwhile, we actually want to rule. And then we mislead all the saints. No wonder the Lord called the scribes, the Pharisees, and the high priests there at the time hypocrites. And hypocrite at that time really meant to be an actor. They're wearing a mask. And the actors always act a role that is not actually themselves. And when the play is over, when the show is over, we have to learn to see such a wonderful beauty on the Lord and to treasure this. And the scarlet color was there. And of course, you cannot forget, it was gold. The true gold can remain. And we see God himself, this wonderful Jesus Christ, the high priest. And only such a high priest can really serve us before God. And remember, it seems as though he's serving us, but Hebrew says he's serving God. He's serving God for us. He is a minister of the sanctuary, and he is standing before God for us. In many situations, we try to help the saints, but it is not before God. And in the end, you think you are such a great help to the saints. But the source, the origin of our help for the others is ourself. And it's not from this throne. All this has a wonderful meaning in our experience. We have to see it. Our Lord serves. And who can bear this whole building of the Lord on his heart that we would really love the church so much? Do we really love the church? Sometimes I have to ask this question. If we really love the church, why do we act in this way? So differently from how this high priest conducted himself for the church. And so we must all realize, Lord, only you can bear this breastplate, this wonderful picture of the New Jerusalem, these 12 precious stones in 4 rows of 3 stones each. You can still read this from earlier conferences we had. But what's important to know is that only he is capable and in a position to carry God's whole building on his heart, in his heart. We are not able. We are dependent wholly dependent on Him. We are priests, yes, but without a high priest who is leading us and helping us in things pertaining to God, without His help, you cannot do it. And the young brothers and sisters are maybe going through this type of experience for the first time. Hopefully it's also the last. So that we could now carry out this wonderful building until the very end, until He returns. We have such a high priest who is so holy. He's completely holy. That's why at the top of, on the golden plate, on the crown, it says what? It says holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. Or in German it's translated as sanctified toward the Lord. To the Lord. On the one hand, you have to have this consciousness that you are holy, or you should be holy. And on the other hand, you have to continually stand before the Lord, and no one can stand before the Lord without being holy. No one. So, do we want to build His house? Even though we have conducted ourselves in this way, that's impossible. So such a high priest, and on His shoulders, He has these 12 tribes that He is bearing, carrying on His shoulders. And these stones are in the order of birth. That means the Lord carries us all. As a people, there are no differences among us. Our names are all engraved. But for the building up, you see there are 12 foundations because they are different. It's not the differences among them that create problems, but it's a lack of transformation. If you remain in your natural state, then that will create problems. In the end, your old German nature will come forth. And this same story will repeat. The Lord has to transform us, change us, until we all become precious stones. No Jew, no Greek, nor German, no Asian. If there are still such distinctions, then there are problems. If there is still flesh and self in the church, then no wonder there are problems. But praise the Lord, if we all put on the new man and enter in, and learn to put off the old, then more and more we will be transformed into the image of the Lord. Then this building will come forth. That means without transformation, there is no building up. Even if you're stuck to this ground of a church so solidly with glue, and you could even be cemented to this ground. Nonetheless, the church will not be built. You insist, I'm cemented to this ground. I'll stay here in eternity. Okay, well, you stay there, but we'll follow the Lamb. Revelation 14, it says, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. That means the Lamb will go. The Lamb continues on. What about you? You remain cemented to the ground? Don't know what kind of ground. Then you can't follow Him anymore. Lord Jesus. The Lord has to show us this clearly. And then we see this garment. After the inner garment, there is still the outer garment, the ephod, and then the breastplate. There are so many layers. And then at the hem, there are what? There are golden bells. Bells made of gold. I've never seen people walking around with golden bells attached to the hem of their clothes. And a pomegranate. All these wonderful colors and materials. Yeah, this color of a special pomegranate. And in the Bible, pomegranate signifies the fullness of life. It is full of life because if you cut open a pomegranate, you see so many juicy seeds with a beautiful red color. And that's the expression not only of life, but of the fullness of life. Did the Lord not say, I have come to give life? I've come that you may have life. Did he say that you should just have a little bit of life? No, but that you may have it abundantly. Sometimes we're already so happy with just a little bit of life, but the Lord is not happy because he said, I have come that you may have life and may have it abundantly. But for you, a little bit of life is already sufficient, but for the Lord, it's not sufficient. If it's just a little bit of life, it shows that you're actually poor. It's pathetic. But if you're so rich and you can afford to pour a lot in, and then it's overflowing. So is the life in all of us abundant? Are we full of spirit? The Lord says, be filled in spirit. And through the Spirit. How can we serve if we only have a little bit of life? It's not sufficient. Just like the foolish virgins, they had no more oil. It was not sufficient. And even the wise virgins were afraid that if the foolish virgins were to take some of their oil, they would say, no, it's not sufficient. It's enough for me, but it's not enough for you. Only the Lord has this fullness. John says, we have all taken from his fullness. But we often just have enough for ourselves. Sorry, brother, I don't have enough for you. No, you go to him. The brother said, oh, too bad. Don't say too bad. Go to the Lord and buy more. Only the Lord has the fullness. John said, we have all taken grace upon grace from his fullness. Only the Lord has the fullness of life like this pomegranate all around the hem of his garment. It's so wonderful. And the Lord is serving with this golden bell. What does a bell do? It's like this gong. It makes a noise. Everyone hears it, and everyone knows what you shall do when you hear it. The Lord didn't have a gong. Otherwise, that would be unpleasant to the ear, but he had many golden bells, small golden bells. not a big bell like in the church or in a cathedral. And so, first of all, it's pleasant to hear the sound of these small golden bells. And it's made of gold. They're gold. That's a heavenly, divine sound. And why is such a sound necessary? If all are sleeping and you don't want to wake them, then please don't come in with all these little bells attached to you. And then you have to walk very carefully so no one will be disturbed. You have to tiptoe into the room. The Lord is not this way. Everyone knows what the Lord is doing. You know, when we serve, we don't have to feel that we have to hide what we do and say, no matter what you do, don't bother anyone. Don't say anything that might offend someone. No matter what, don't talk about Babylon, because then someone in the next street over near the meeting hall might get upset. We care so much. This is how we are. So we do everything in secret, quietly, without bells. We're afraid. And if we have bells, then what are they made of? Are they made of iron? Or some other material, maybe paper? Porcelain? So fragile. That's not good. But the Lord does not use porcelain that's made of earth. The Lord does everything openly. He does nothing in secret. Everything He did, everything He said, was open to all. He had no fear. He spoke the truth. Why should we be afraid if we're speaking the truth? Only if you're saying something that's not quite right will you want to do it in secret, like, please, no recordings. Recording is prohibited. Why? Why is it prohibited? And if someone did do such a recording, you'll say, give it to me. Give it to me. Why? If what we have said is proper, it's correct and true, and not from the flesh, why are we afraid? The Lord was not afraid for everyone to hear what He said. If we serve the Lord like the high priest, and of course we have to say something that also has a godly, divine sound, not our own sound, but godly, golden bells. Someone called you. Does your phone make a sound of golden bells? I don't know what kind of sound it was, but praise the Lord. We all have to see how our wonderful great high priest is serving. Wherever he goes, we hear the truth. We hear words of eternal life. We hear words of righteousness. we hear words of grace. That's how it is. That's how the Lord serves. But unfortunately, the priesthood, the ordinary priests, they don't have this garment, but we must learn from him, and he will help us to serve in this manner also. And that's why it says in Hebrews, he will help us in all things, particular the things pertaining to God, godly things, God's plan, God's word, God's truth. This is the service, the ministry that our wonderful high priest has. We still have some time. So in addition, we see this breastplate. In German, it's translated as a breast bag. And why is it called a bag? It's because something must be placed inside it. And you don't see it from the outside, but it must be placed inside. And on this breastplate, we have two very mysterious stones. And they are called Urim and Thummim. No one knows and can explain or describe what they are. The Lord just told Moses, put these two things there. Everything else is described, how you do it and what material it shall be, but Urim and Thummim are not explained. It's a mystery. No one knows. There are some places in the Bible that show that they get instruction in important, difficult decisions, especially when it comes to times of war. Joshua often went to the priests and asked, and the priests would know through Urim and Thummim. They would get instruction and guidance from the Lord. Should we do this? Should we do that? Should we go into battle? Should we not? And then for this, Joshua would go to the priests, and the priests would get the instruction from the Lord through Urim and Thummim. And it was like casting lots. When the priests would cast lots, but the decision would be made by God. At the time of the Old Covenant, they often did that. They would cast lots. But the decision, the word tells us, was God's. God made the decision. Let us read Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Let's read this, Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. But don't do this at home. Only the priests would do this. And this is just a general proverb here, because people don't understand this and they will just cast lots out of superstition. But no matter how the lot is cast, the decision is from the Lord, especially in the time of the Old Covenant. And also, the inheritance that each tribe received, it was decided through casting of lots. And here we see in the most holy place, they did it through Urim and Thummim, but don't do it without Urim and Thummim. Just casting lots doesn't work. But through Urim and Thummim, the Lord would show how it's done is not described, but in general we know that Urim signifies light, and Thummim means perfection. Everything is right, true, without lie, without falseness. You can trust it completely. You do not need to have any worries because it's God. And here we see how precious it is. We see much outwardly, but inside the breastplate, we don't know. And in the New Covenant, we see, how does the Lord speak to us today? Through the anointing. 1 John 2 tells us very clearly that the anointing teaches us all things, and it is true and is not a lie. And we have to remain in Him. It's very dependable. But Revelation says we also have to have an ear to hear. So the problem often is our ear, which is not saved. Without the blood from the consecration offering, we can't hear anything. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit speaks to the churches. And also in Hebrews, the Holy Spirit is speaking today. When you hear His speaking today, how is the Lord speaking to us today? How do you hear His voice, not just through the written word, but much more through the anointing in us? The word without this inner anointing is not sufficient. I would not say it's wrong. It may be the objective truth. But what the Lord wants to tell you and say to you through this word is not just through objective truth, but it's through the Spirit that abides in us. And that's why in John 15 and 16, the Lord specially said, when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter or the Helper, when He comes, He will teach you concerning all things. So you see, the teaching does not come only from the Bible, but from this wonderful Helper, from the Spirit who dwells in us now, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And He will lead us into all the reality, into all the truth. And this wonderful Spirit will show us and declare to us. And the Lord will not speak something from Himself, and He never glorified Himself, but He glorified the Father. And the Spirit will even show us the things to come. Is that not wonderful? And today we receive light from Him. The Spirit gives us revelation and light. It enlightens the eyes of our heart. It teaches us truth. We can't think, oh, I know the Bible, I know so many teachings, so now we're mature. If it were only so simple, well, then we'd already be mature. But unfortunately, it's not so easy. And whoever is unholy and does not want to walk in the light and thinks that he's already perfect and says, well, we've made no mistakes. John says, if you say you have no sin, you are lying. He is lying and the truth is not in him. But if we walk in the light, then we will have fellowship with him. God is light. And here we see again, we need not only the showbread, but we also need the light. And the light comes from this Urim, from the Spirit that gives light. He is a spirit of revelation. He shows us, he teaches us, and we need this. When I was still in San Francisco, there is a family that was saved and baptized. And to make a long story short, I said, you don't need to read a lot of books, because the brother had brought a pile of books to give this family, and I said, please, no, first you must read this book, the Bible. Then this brother's name is David. He just chose this name as an American name because he came to the U.S., he immigrated. He said, but I don't understand the Bible. I said, well, you haven't even read the first page, and you're already saying you don't understand the Bible? Who gave you this idea, this concept? But once you've read the Bible, then you can come back and say you don't understand it. But I said, many things in this book you will already know and you will understand. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Is that hard to understand? That's the first sentence. You understand it. Everyone can understand it. No one can tell me, oh, I don't understand the Bible. And I said to him, but even more wonderful is that if there is something you don't understand, you have the best teacher in you, which is the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Now you are saved. You're born again. The Spirit dwells in you, and you have to experience this starting from day one. And 2 weeks later, 2 weeks because he had to go to Las Vegas on business, he came back to the meeting and he gave fresh testimonies. The family gave testimonies of how they had experienced the Lord, and we who were in the church for 40 or 50 years, 50 years. Well, for them it was for 50 hours ago. And we are talking about old things in the past, but this newly saved one testified how the Lord helped them, spoke to them, and gave many opportunities where he showed himself to be so living. But for us, we're so mired in tradition and in our knowledge and in the past, we don't speak what the Lord wants to speak today. We speak what we learned many years ago. And still today, no, we need this Urim and Thummim, and we need to experience them. It is the living speaking of the Lord. It's light from him. That's why Paul said we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He prayed for the saints in Ephesians. so that we could fully come to the full knowledge of Him. That we would hear Him. The Lord is speaking today through the Spirit and not just through the knowledge that we learned in the past. That's just a teaching. It's letter. What a wonderful high priest we have. And then Revelation chapter 1. Starting in verse 12, we see this wonderful high priest. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw. This is so wonderful. The Lord is so personal. We just have a Bible, but we forget we have the living one in us. In the end, you will treasure the book more than the one who dwells in you. You know the Bible, but you don't know Him. That would be terrible. Then we will be like Pharisees and scribes. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. So once again, we see this golden lampstand. And the first time the golden lampstand is mentioned is here when the sanctuary is described. And the second time, and that's what's dispositive, is in Zechariah chapter 4, the golden lampstand, which the angel interpreted, said, not by might, not by power, not through man's hands, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's the lampstand. And then in Revelation, we see that as the Son of Man, He's the high priest, and He's serving in the sanctuary. And for Him, it's the true tabernacle, and if it's His church, then He is walking in the midst of it. But in the end, unfortunately, they did not want to hear Him, and so the churches in Revelation 17, we see, turned into Babylon. So we still have some time. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one, not many. Whom do we see? Do we see elders? Do we see Paul? No, Paul says we are nothing. We are just servants, ministers, nothing more. In the church, we must see this one, like the Son of Man, praise the Lord, clothed with a garment. What kind of garment does it have to be? Surely it must be a pure priestly garment, down to the feet, and this is very clear, and girded about the chest with a golden band. And surely he is this wonderful high priest. But this garment is not as complicated as Aaron's, because what Aaron's garment showed was just a picture of the reality. But the Lord is the reality of this wonderful priest. But His order is of a higher order. Here we see, nonetheless, He also has a garment. That's wonderful. His head and hair were white like wool. Praise the Lord. He is the eternal one, without beginning and without end. Brother, how old are you? and no one is older than he is, we will never be as old as this man because he dwells, he lives eternally. Praise the Lord. White like wool, and we know wool comes from a lamb. It has to do with a lamb. And the wool of a lamb is naturally white. It didn't turn white because he was old, like his hair started black and 3 years later the wool turned white. No. Well, my hair was black at the beginning and now it's not black anymore and it shows I've become old. This oldness is the weakness. It's the infirmity of man. But with him, it's not white because of oldness, but it's white like wool because he is the ancient one from eternity to eternity. As white as snow, and the snow is also from above. Not just white like wool, but also white like snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire, so he doesn't need glasses. His eyes are so sharp and burning. When you get old, you can hardly see, and in the end, you're half blind. But his eyes are like a flame of fire. We must know this high priest. And his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. So wherever he goes, he is judging. Like he spoke to the seven churches, "This I have against you, repent. I will fight against you," and so on. The Lord has so much to judge. Don't think that he can't see us clearly because he's sitting so high above and we're so far below and he can't see anything. You would be mistaken. He sees everything. And he's not just so high above, but he also dwells in you. And do you think he doesn't see anything that happens in your heart? Hebrews tells us he sees everything. Oh, Lord. And his voice as the sound of many waters. That's so awe-inspiring or awesome. There must be a word in German for this. Google it. So when you hear such a voice, you are okay, that's the German word for awesome. When you hear the voice, the word of God, you say, no, good message. Okay, good, all right, I agree. Then the Lord is not speaking. Because the people who are speaking are just speaking words, not the voice of the Lord. And we are happy just to hear teaching, but then nothing will happen. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Do you like this? Really? But the sword will cut. It cuts into the heart. It penetrates. And Hebrews also tells us this. His word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And we can't take this. We can't tolerate it. Oh, it's too sharp. Oh, everyone will run away, especially the young people. Oh, no. What can we do? Should the Lord put the sword back in its sheath? And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I hugged him. Is that what it says? No, even John, the favorite apostle of the Lord, who laid on his bosom when Jesus was on this earth, when I saw him, he says, I fell at his feet as dead. Unfortunately, we don't know this Christ as the high priest. Do we have such a high priest in the church? If we are no longer his church, you will also not see this high priest. And you can do whatever you like. Then you are truly serving without fear. Then you can do whatever you like. You can boast. You can scold. You can curse. You can do whatever you want. Because you have not seen such a high priest. And this is evidence, it's proof that it is not the sanctuary. If there is a church where everything is tolerated, everyone can say and do and write whatever they like, and there's so much darkness, this and that, then is it the church? Praise the Lord. We must see such a high priest today who is serving in the wonderful sanctuary, not created by hands, not of this creation. I think we don't need to say much more. I hope that in this whole time, that through the Word and through the Spirit, the Lord has shown us something important, and now we will go back. And let us bring all this before the Lord. And then pray before this golden incense altar to pray, Lord, build this heavenly tabernacle with us. This heavenly sanctuary that only He can build. Only that is unshakable. Praise the Lord. If we build this kind of building together with Him, and He is building with us such a sanctuary, then I assure you, this priesthood will be not only a holy priesthood, but also a royal one. Then we will be qualified at His second coming to rule and reign together with Him. Amen. There is no better way for us to take. This is the will of God that He has prepared for us. Praise the Lord. The Lord be with us all. When we go back, be it in Bonn or Hamburg or in the south, the east, the west, in all places, also in Poland, we want to trust in Him. We have such a high priest. who can help us to build a wonderful heavenly tabernacle. Hallelujah.